happy holidays. This is Lenny's Crazy Podcast, and this is podcast number 68. I wanted to get a podcast out before the holidays because it's been a while since I did a podcast, and a few people have been bugging me saying, hey, when are you going to do a podcast? So I figured I would, I had a little time this morning, so I would put together a podcast. So I got all ready to do the podcast and got ready to record, and I started to record using my Samson CO1U microphone, which has never failed me in the past. It's a USB mic, and for some reason this wonderful Pulse Audio wouldn't pick it up. So then it eventually picked it up, but it wouldn't allow me to use it to record with. So here we go, plan B, because I didn't want to go have to do it on another computer. And heaven forbid you'd have to go and record on a Windows computer. I think I would just have to go outside and shoot myself if I had to go that far. So I was determined to get something to work that I could record with. And I had a Playtronics a DSP-500, which is a pretty nice headset. And I'd bought it a while back on eBay pretty cheap. The only reason I never used it before was because, I don't know, I'm just not used to having the headset on. I like recording with the microphone, but I didn't really have a choice, so here we are. And lo and behold, it worked perfect. I mean, I as soon as I plugged it in, Pulse Audio picked it up. Audacity picked it up right away. I'm able to record. I'm able to play. So we'll see how that works out. I kept saying that I was going to have a testing box that was just... Well, not testing box. I kept saying I was going to have a stable box that I would set up just for doing podcasts, for recording the podcasts and playing them back and editing them and uploading them to the website and all that good stuff. But I did. I had it for a little while, but what would happen is I never would want to go over there. It's at another desk, so I'd never want to go over there to the other desk because I'm already here at this desk. Doing all my different stuff. Plus, that computer just sat there, so I started using that for testing, so I upgraded it to unstable. In Gen 2, there's like stable, and then there's like unstable or slash testing. So that's what I was using that box for. I started using that box for testing stuff because I wanted to test it on that box before I installed it on this box. The box I'm on now is my main box, and I use it for, you know, everything. Email, I use it for all my work-related stuff. I use it for whatever I have to do on Gen 2. It has all my SSH keys and all that good stuff in it. So I didn't really want to break this one, so I set up that other box to do the testing. And by that, once it started doing all that testing and everything with it, then I never did use it again for the podcast. So I was using this one for a podcast. So this box here originally started out as a stable box also, but there's always some program I want, latest and greatest, or something I wanted to test out. So I had so many programs in etc., portage, package.keywords, and in Gen 2, that file is almost like an app sources list file to where you can add, you know, like you do with app, you add repositories that are unstable or that. Well, in Gen 2, you just add your packages that you want to run that are unstable in this package.keywords file. And over time, that file had gotten so big. And when I was doing one of my upgrades, I was continually having to add to it. So I was like, well, forget this. I just eliminated that file and just went straight unstable. But this was about 2 or 3 years ago on this box that's here. So this box is running unstable. That other testing box is running unstable. And then I have another box that I run just x86 on stable. And that's for testing also, for testing e-builds to make sure that they'll run on x86 and also that they'll run on stable, the stable tree for Gen 2. So this box here is unstable and it's running this Pulse Audio. And like I said, right now, using this Playtronics headset. It's doing wonderful, and I'm sure this recording is going to come out pretty good because I can watch the graph here on Audacity as it's recording, and it's coming out really nice. And this is a pretty nice headset. This is the old style, the DSP-500. They might have some new ones, but it's a pretty heavy-duty headset, and it's got great reviews. I've heard some people had problems with this even on Linux. What happens is with Linux is there's just that one driver for all of the USB sound, sound USB audio, and I have read somewhere the developer that takes care of it, but I don't have the link right here handy. But what happens is you add all these different devices to it and to that one driver. So there's a bunch of different devices in that one driver. You would think that they would separate them to sound USB, like for the Samson, sound USB Samson, sound USB for this Playtronics, and have them, or all the different USB stuff. But for whatever reason, they have it all looped into one driver. Also, all the webcams and everything is all looped into that driver. I mean, you got a ton of different webcams and everything that's powered off that one driver, sound USB audio, ALSA driver. And then from that driver, then on top of that is this layer, this pulse audio layer, that's supposed to help get everything working. I never had any trouble with plain running straight ALSA before. And I wish I could have kept with it, but this pulse audio is of the future, so I'm going to have to figure it out sometime. Plus, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be forced into it, and they're going to be lost after their sound stops working, after they go from ALSA to pulse audio. Hopefully, when that starts happening, hopefully pulse audio will be pretty stable and it'll get all this different quirks and stuff worked out. My biggest complaint is it's not consistent. One time, this Playtronics mic, like I said, is working perfect here, but there's liable to be a time next week I plug it in and this ain't going to work, and the Samson mic will work, and I have no way of figuring it out. I don't know why it's not working now. I have no way of debugging it. I guess I could, if I really wanted to, maybe I could talk to the developer and maybe help out or something, but there's got to be other people testing this stuff. I just can't believe that it's this inconsistent with me, and nobody else is complaining about it. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, let's see. What else have I been, doing? I've been learning Bash, continuing with that. I have this book. It's called Pro Bash Programming. And it's a good book. I'm on, let me see what page I'm on here. I'm moving along. I'm kind of slow, but I'm moving along. I'm on page 29. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but I do all the exercises and everything. I'm not just skimming it. I'm actually, I do everything that's in it. And I found here later on when I'm doing, I read a lot of books, and I take my time going through them, because at the beginning I was going through, when I was learning Python, I'm no Python expert. I'm still in the learning stage. But I noticed I was going through too fast before I really was understanding it. So now I've kind of taken my time to try to understand it as I go. But that doesn't hurt you if you don't understand it either, because you can always go back through it again, and there's so much information to absorb. I don't understand it the first time, so I have to go through it a few times. But this here, I kind of got a pretty good grasp of the basics of Bash and the basics of programming now. I'm not lost like I was when I first started learning the Python. The Python actually helped me with the Bash, because just learning the terms and the way programming is done, so that way I kind of understood, already understood loops and wheres and ifs and elses and a bunch of different stuff, variables and all that, because I had no idea even what a variable was when I first started out. I had no clue. So I'm working on this book. Now, I'd already gone through this other book, which was really good. I got it down here. I'm going to go back to it in a minute, when I get done the Bash programming book, is I'm up to now on it. I'm up to 418. This is called Linux Command Line and Shell Scripting Bible. Now, this is a really good book, Richard Blum. I'm up to page 418 on it. I stopped because it started now to get into set and awk or gawk, G-A-W-K. So I've been studying a little bit of set and awk. So what I did was I stopped here. I want to go through and buckle down on this bash a little bit more, and then what I'll do is I'll drop back and then I'll do some more of the set and awk. I'll pick up here on chapter 16 in this Linux command line and shell scripting Bible. And I really enjoy that book. And another thing that has come in really handy is when you're doing from these books is having some kind of a stand. And I'll put a link on linuxcrazy.com for this easy reader. I was trying to find something to prop up the book because it's hard to read the book and then type at the same time. So this easy reader is great. It's cheap too. It's only like $8, but it works perfect. All it is a little metal frame that folds down. It'll fold up flat, and then you can just unfold it and put your book on it. And it'll handle little books, and it'll handle big books. So it's really nice. Like I said, I'll put a link to that on linuxcrazy.com. Also, if you're ever on IRC Freenode, stop by. It's hash Linux Crazy and say hello. My name there is D. Abbott, and my real name is David Abbott, and I'm D. Abbott at Gentoo. I'm actually a Gentoo staff developer. I help out the public relations project, and I also am a trustee member. I was kind of appointed that because the poor fellow that was one of the other trustees passed away unexpectedly, and they wanted to make sure that they had enough people in order to carry the votes and stuff. And I think there's an election coming up in December, and if I'll be reelected or if I want to stay on it or not. So I'll see what the feedback is. If it seems like people kind of want me to stay, I'll stay. And if I don't get much feedback, like, people really want me to stay, I'll just kind of let somebody else do it. It's not that big a deal. I just do it just to help out, to be honest. My background is I'm a golf course superintendent, and I do budgets and stuff like that. But I'm not like a big-time manager, you could say, of like a big, big corporation. I'm almost like a department head at a company that you would have, and I answer to the CEO and the accountants and all that, but I don't really get involved a whole lot with the business side of the business. I'm more of I'm a golf course superintendent, like I said. So I'm the superintendent. If you're not familiar with the golf courses, the way they're set up, it's basically like a construction superintendent where you have a crew of 10, 12 guys, like a carpenter foreman or a carpenter superintendent on a big construction site, where you have a crew of guys, and then you have to get a certain amount of work done. The only difference is our job site is a 140-acre golf course, so I'm used to doing budgets and stuff like that. But I'm not like a high-dollar administrative secretary or anything. But I seem to do all right for the trustees. So if they want me to stay on, if there's some interest for me to stay on, if they think I'm doing an okay job, I'll stay. If not, I got plenty to do. I've been busy, busy, busy. I've been pretty busy at work, but after work, I spent a lot of time here fooling around with Gentoo, and my latest thing is bug fixing and helping out the Perl maintenance project. They're short on staff, so I've been helping out with the Perl maintenance project, and I've been testing e-builds. I've been bumping e-builds. I've been reporting at Bugzilla bugs. I've been fixing bugs. I even last week I fixed a bug. It was pretty neat. It was the first time I'd done this. I actually patched a make file in the e-build. I put the patch in the e-build, and lo and behold, I couldn't believe it, it worked. But it was a pretty simple one. Basically, the make file was just a syntax error during the progression of the package. Once it had been upgraded a couple times, someone along the line had changed one of the files to it was background, and instead of background now it was background underscore index something like that. So basically all I had to do was just figure that out, that that's what was happening, find where that actual error was coming from, what file it was, go ahead and test out that, changing that in that file, if the program would go ahead and compile and install. And once it had compiled and installed, then making a patch and then updating the e-build to incorporate that patch into the actual build process of the program, and lo and behold, it built, and I was so happy. See, what else have I been doing? Oh yeah, okay. Just today, this older gentleman of mine, a gentleman friend of mine, it's the day before Christmas, and he wanted some Christmas music to play in his car as he's going around visiting people or whatever, and to play at his house. So I went and used StreamTuner, and then I used StreamRipper, and I have it set up with, it runs under Aterm, and the actual command is, let me see what it is. Yeah, the command is Aterm space dash E StreamRipper. And what it does is, once you find a station and you go ahead and then you want to record from it, that's the command I use to record from it. And it recorded all these Christmas songs. I let it play last night all night. So I let it record all night. And this whole process was very enjoyable. It worked very well. So I went ahead and used G-Labels to create the labels for the CD. And I went ahead and designed the labels for the CD. Pretty simple, you know, just Christmas music. I put a little picture of Santa on it. I call it Frank's Christmas Music. His name is Frank. So I created the labels. And then I went ahead and used, now I use GNOME, so these are all GNOME programs. And then I used Brasario, Brasero, to go ahead and burn the CDs. And while I was doing it, I made like 20 of, I recorded enough stuff for probably 5 or 6 CDs, but I actually picked the best ones out and made 2 CDs out of it. Christmas Music 1, Christmas Music 2. And this Brasario is fantastic. I remember in the old days using, I forget what it was, but we used to use KB3 or something. I forget what the name of it was. But man, they've just come a long way. This thing, the interface is really nice, and it walks you right through what you want to do. It opens up one window where you can add all the different files, all the songs that you want to add onto it. And on the bottom, it tells you how much space you have left on the CD so that you don't put too many songs and you make sure that you put enough so you've used the CD up wisely. And I went ahead and created those CDs and went ahead and checked and played it. And here we go back to Pulse Audio again. In this computer here, the CD played beautiful. It played fine. In that testing box over there, I put the CD in there, and it started playing, and it had those skips. I don't know if y'all have ever played Pulse Audio before when it does that skips. I don't know where the skip comes from. It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's very, very unpleasant because it sounds perfect. Sound sounds perfect, and then all of a sudden, it's got a little gap. It just skips for a second. I thought the CD was messed up. The burning of the CD was messed up because I didn't try it in that computer until about halfway done. I just wanted to listen to a couple of songs. In hindsight, I should have done it at the beginning. Can you imagine if I'd have ripped all them CDs and they wouldn't have sounded right? But anyhow, so I played in that one and I heard that little gap and the skipping. And at first, I thought it was a bad download or a bad burn. I was like, man. So I tried it in this computer right here that I'm doing this podcast from, and it played perfect. So it's the Pulse Audio in that other machine that's playback is messing up something with the playback. Now the difference is in that machine, I don't have an add-on sound card. I have just regular old Sound Intel HDA. This machine I have an old Dell Sound Blaster card. I used to buy these cards on eBay real cheap. I get them for a couple bucks. But they were great because they use the EMU10K1X driver. That's a well-known driver. It works great, but it's getting kind of old. I mean, that thing's probably 7 or 8 year old technology. So I've been thinking about getting a newer sound card, but you know how sound is. It's like, if it's working, you don't really want to go and do anything to it because you're just so glad to have sound working. Lennox needs to get with the ball here on the sound stuff, especially as much as I enjoy making these podcasts and listening to music and all that. I mean, really, sound should just work. But it could have something to do with all this testing I do. You know what I mean? And always running this unstable stuff. So I'm always on the bleeding edge. I guess if I was really smart, I would go back to what I was talking about before. If I really wanted sound working, is to have one stable box, you know, just set up for sound. But I'm hoping that they get all this stuff figured out and we'll be back we were in the old days. I remember a few years ago, as long as you had a supported ALSA card, I mean, you were going to get sound. Now, you might have a problem with playing sound in Flash and stuff like that, but just regular sound and doing these podcast type stuff and just playing CDs and playing MP3s, stuff like that, you never had any problem with sound. All right, that's my rant for this month. I'm using GNOME 2.28, and it's a buggy piece of software itself. Now, I don't have any trouble with everything's working fine, and I've got Firefox 3. Let me see what that one is up to. 3.6. It's actually called Chirico. Oh, it's 3.5.5, and I'm using Thunderbird 3. Now, with the new Thunderbird 3, you can't encrypt your emails anymore. That's gotten broken with the AMD 64. I think you can use it. Thunderbird 3 and ENIG Mail, Ninja Mail, ENIG Mail. It's busted. It's busted for, I don't know, you can download the latest trunk or whatever. But hopefully they'll get that fixed out. I get it fixed up. I guess that's just the disadvantage of using the latest and the greatest software. But the reason I don't run a stable box is I tried running a stable box. And I always was testing something or upgrading. So it just never worked out. I mean, you could have a stable box just sitting there, but I don't know. So I'll just wrestle with this stuff. You know, you learn how to work around it. So I can't encrypt my mail with Thunderbird now, but I can use, if I need to send something, Evolution worked great encrypting the mail. I don't really like the Evolution way of doing things because, I don't know, I just didn't. I used to like Thunderbird too. I don't know why I even went with Thunderbird 3. I was thinking about going ahead and just masking Thunderbird 3 and going back to Thunderbird 2. I like Thunderbird 2. I had no trouble with it. It did everything I wanted to do. It was simple. And this Thunderbird 3, they got to add all this new fangled stuff. But I knew if I did, it was just going to be a matter of time. If I use Thunderbird 2, well, how long is it going to last? 2 or 3 months, 4 months or something? Before, you know. So I'm going to, all it's going to be is Thunderbird 3. I guess they'll figure it all out. Or I'll just go to Evolution full time. If I liked the interface a little bit better, I would just go to Evolution all the time now. But I don't know. I just don't. So I forget what it is exactly. There's just something about it I didn't like that much, like I do Thunderbird. I've been using Gmail for most of my stuff. So Gmail, I can't encrypt anything either. It's broken, the encryption. So I'll keep Evolution for encryption and use Gmail for mostly everything, and then Thunderbird every once in a while. So, well, I hope everyone has a very, very enjoyable Christmas and a super New Year. I sure hope some of the people out there that are out of work can find work pretty soon. And I hope everything works out here in the United States of America. It's a shame that we have to go through these down times, but I guess it's when you play, you pay. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I'll try to put together an interview shortly with someone, maybe even a Gentoo developer, or maybe a fellow Linux user. And I'll see y'all next year. Bye.